Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 14, verses 20 and 21. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 20 and 21. The Bible says, "The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." So today we're going to study about the poor, and the Bible has some very clear instructions for us about exactly what we should and shouldn't do regarding the poor. Now, we're going to find some instructions about having mercy on the poor. And the reason that the Lord leaves us with those instructions is because the poor don't have friends like rich folks do. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Many times the rich has many more friends than they wish they had. I remember years ago, a friend of mine suffered an injury working. Ended up in the hospital. And I went up to see him in San Antonio, and we visited, and he told me that the attorneys had come by and that they wanted him to sue the owner of the building, sue his employer, and that they would make him a wealthy man. And, you know, that fella asked them a couple of questions. He was already 70 years old when the injury happened. First question he asked the attorneys, "Well, how much are you going to make out of the deal?" And they said half or 40%, something like that, but half. And he said, "Let me tell you something. Right now, I have a car that's paid for that I really can't drive with my injury. I have a house that's paid for and a wife that loves me, and enough income from my retirement to put food on my table. And you're telling me now that you want me to get rich in my old age off of a lawsuit because of an accident?" He said, "You know what you're asking me to do? You're asking me to make you a lot of money at my expense, because you'll get your money and go back to your office. And then when folks find out that I've gotten some money, I'm going to end up with all kinds of friends and relatives that I don't have right now. And they're going to say, 'Come on, give me some money. You have a lot of money you don't need. Give me some money.'" And he said, I don't want to be plagued with that problem for the last 10 years of my life. Get out of my hospital room." And he ran him out of there. Now, he's an unusual character. That's why I consider him a real friend. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but he was a very unusual character. He's a very wise man. You know, there are a lot of people today that will sue at the drop of a hat. This guy had what he needed. He'd worked during his life. He had an income, and he did not need the many friends of the rich folks. He was plenty satisfied and very rich in his own mind to have a loving wife, a house and a car, and a friend, or a few friends, really. Now, since the poor don't have friends like the rich folks do, when a man despises a poor man because of his poverty, he sins. The Bible says, "He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth." So if it's a sin to despise him, and if it's a benefit to have mercy on him, he says here, "He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he," then there's something that needs to be done. There's some responsibility that we must have toward people that are in poverty. And in fact, there are lots of testimonies to this in the Bible. So let's see what we can learn from those testimonies that will help us in handling the doctrinal application of these verses that we've just studied here today. The first thing, to always remember, no matter what, there will always be poor people, always. You're never going to get away from it. No matter what you do to correct the problem, there will always be poor people. Now, there have been a lot of people that have tried to correct the problem through education, through work programs, through just simply providing money. But those things have never solved the problem, and they never will. Jesus Christ gave the clearest, most succinct testimony on the problem that any man has ever given. And this is what he said in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11. For you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For you have the poor always with you. You see that? There's no way to get around it. You're always going to have the poor. And that's important to remember, because there are a lot of programs that attempt in some way or another to try to solve the problem, but they really don't ever get the job done, because year after year, those same programs that said we're going to do this and that in order to solve the problem are right back in your face to get more money. It's just the way that it is. You know, there are all kinds of associations concerning diseases, and they are there to cure the diseases. And yet year after year after year after year, they're always back asking you for more money, because the problem never goes away. Throwing money alone at the problem will never solve the problem of poverty. It may ease your conscience, but it'll never solve the problem. And because it eases your conscience, the programs that you see and the flyers that you see that show you the poor in a real destitute kind of condition, they make a great haul off of your sympathy, because you feel terrible about how abundantly well you live and how terribly they live. You think, well, I'll throw a little money at this problem and that'll ease my conscience. Well, that's just not going to solve the problem. It just isn't, because you're always going to have the poor with you. Now, some of those poor who are poor don't deserve the help. I'll start with the negative first. Some of those who are poor don't deserve the help. They really don't. Now, I know that's hard for your conscience, but you have to have wisdom in applying the verses that we're studying today. When he said, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. You got to know how to apply that, because there are some limitations. Look what Paul said to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. Now, this is Paul writing to a church in which there are poor saints. And look what he says. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. If he would not work, neither should he eat. And let me tell you, there are numbers of healthy men that are walking around today who will not work. I remember years ago, I was living with a great uncle of mine in Houston, and he told me, he said, let's go downtown and take a look at the Star of Hope mission. And this was in the middle of the day. And he said, if the men that are outside of that mission are old men, then that's to be expected, and things aren't as bad as I think they are. But if the men outside of that mission waiting on lunch are young men, this country's in trouble. We're sunk. And we drove by that mission, and sure enough, a great percentage of those men standing outside of the door waiting on it to open to provide them with soup and whatever they'll say we're going to eat that day were young men, able-bodied men that weren't working. They just wouldn't do it. And there are a lot of people like that. They can work. The jobs that are available to them are demeaning jobs, or they found some way to leech off of somebody else, and they're not going to work. And that's why Paul said, if they wouldn't work, then they're not supposed to eat. Now, that doesn't include people who can't work, but this includes people who can. I remember we were preaching outside of a bar at 10:30 in the morning on a weekday years ago. And five men, married in their 20s, late 20s, walked out of that bar already drinking, 10 o'clock in the morning. We were there about 10:30, walked out of that bar. And I thought to myself when I saw them come out of there, married men, what in the world are they doing in a bar at 10:30 in the morning drinking when they're supposed to be out working to support their families? Man, that was a tragedy. Paul said if they wouldn't work, they're not supposed to eat. We hear This is what Paul said in verse 11 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now, you know what Paul just said there? He said, that fellow is not working, and he comes up and wants you to give him some money. Then you tell him, you go to work, you eat your own bread. I'm not to have any company with you, and you're to be ashamed of the fact that you're healthy enough to work, and you won't. Now, that's true. That's what Paul said. The Lord's instructions are not to help this kind of poor person. He's a leech. Now, in our country, and I'm sure this is true in many other countries as well, but we see it here, drugs have brought many a man to this place of ruin. They're too stoned or too drunk to work, and so they beg for money so they can get more drugs and more booze. And you know what the Lord said to do? Have no company with him. Just leave him alone. He said, boy, I know, but that's awful hard to take because he's going to end up sleeping in the gutter or whatever. You know something, as long as he's comfortable sleeping in the gutter, sleeping off a drunk, as long as he's comfortable with that, and begging and trying to hit people up for $5 here and $5 there, he's going to keep doing it until he dies or until he gets to a place where he says, I don't like this anymore, and I want to change. Now, if a fellow will get to a place in his life where he realizes that he's sick of that and he wants to change, there's all kinds of help for him. All kinds of help for him. Now, I've got a friend of mine that employs guys that have picked themselves up out of that ruin. And, I mean, it's not an easy road for them. Those guys struggle with it. But you know what? He believes that he can help them, and those fellows are willing to put in a good day's work in order to make their wage. There are a lot of guys like that. And those guys deserve a chance. And they get a chance, but a man that's just going to be poor and leech off of you because you're a sucker enough to keep giving him the money and keep him in the condition he's in, he ain't going to work. And that's a big problem with welfare systems in general. They are incentives never to learn. All right. First of all, they'll always be poor. Secondly, some of those who are poor don't deserve the help. Third thing, some of those who are poor do deserve the help. Look in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Some of them do deserve the help. Galatians chapter 2 and look at verse 9. Now, I'm just right in the middle of a context here. But this will be James and Peter and John. That's James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, that is, to the Gentiles, while they minister to the Jews, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. So Paul agreed with him. He said, you know, we're going to go out there among the Gentiles, and we're going to minister the gospel of the grace of God, and we'll do what you ask us to do. We will remember the poor. And there were poor saints, particularly back in Jerusalem, who needed some help, and they were legitimate. They were deserving of the help, and Paul said, I'll take care of it. We'll do it. So he took up some collections in churches, and he also supplied some of the need himself. But notice something. In every case, these poor that they were taking care of are saints. Now, we'll have to look at a few references, so either listen to me or turn with me, first of all, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, the Bible says, now, concerning the collection for the saints, you see that? These are Christians that are poor. For the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Look at it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 are all about giving. So we're in the middle of that context. And he says, as touching the ministering to the saints, he's talking about giving them some money to help them out. It is superfluous for me to write to you. And then he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So it's very important to recognize that these guys are saints. We've had people over the years, and I think Corpus Christi is probably pretty notorious for that, calling, and I've told you this before, but I just want to remind you, they've called and they want utilities paid, they want food, they want just straight out money, they want gas, whatever the case may be, and they'll call, and that you could tell they're going down the list of churches and they're going down the list of charities, calling and asking for money to help pay rent, utilities, and food, or at least that's what they say they're after. And that's what they want the church to take care of. And you know what? They don't want the church for God. They don't want Jesus Christ for salvation. They don't want to do anything for the Lord. They're not willing to make any effort whatsoever toward receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, although they all profess to be saved, or doing anything under the authority of a local church or under the authority of the words of God for God's kingdom. All they are is leeches. Gimme, gimme. There are a lot of them like that. And that's not the kind of saint that Paul was talking about here. Because it is not intended that these guys freeload for the rest of their lives. Look again in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 at verse 14. Paul says when we're taking up this collection for these saints, he said it's to make an equality. He says, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. In other words, Paul was simply saying, right now they're in trouble and you've got some money, so help them out. And one of these days when you're in trouble, they'll help you out. And it wasn't just for the recompense, but he knew that that's the way it would work among saints, that there's this common effort. Well, when a guy just calls you on the telephone and says, give me some money and I don't want anything to do with the Lord, he's not in the common effort. He's never going to be there to supply the want of anybody and provide for any equality. He's a leech. And you got to be strong enough and you got to be willing to recognize how God falls out on these things and let them go. All right, so there'll always be poor people, and some of those who are poor don't deserve the help. Some of those who are poor do deserve the help. And you know something? The fourth thing, God expects us to help them. Look in Luke chapter 16. And notice what happened to this rich man that had a poor man that simply wanted his crumbs. He didn't even ask for his leftovers. He just wanted the crumbs. Luke 16:19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He wasn't going to eat those crumbs. They hit the floor. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Well, he sure got wealthy in a hurry. The rich man also died, and he was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. There's a man who neglected his opportunity to help a poor fellow that was laid at his gate, a brother in essence, because they were both Jews, and the poor guy, that rich man wound up in hell. God expected him to help that fellow. Had given him that abundance to be able to help. Well, listen, when Zacchaeus got straightened out with the Lord, he said, half of my goods I give to the poor. He knew what the Lord wanted. That rich man that came and said, I'll follow you. The Lord said, you know what I want you to do in your case? He said, I want you to give all of your wealth to the poor. Follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven, but give it all. Man, he wouldn't do it. But the Lord expected him to. Luke chapter 10. Verses 30 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan, or the story of the Good Samaritan. I'm telling you, man, you got a situation here. How in the world could you miss it? You know the story. Two guys passed by, wouldn't do anything for him. The Samaritan passed by and said, I'll help him, because he had compassion on him. Verse 34, he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the fellow answered, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. The Lord expects us to help folks that are in need. Take, for instance, what happened with Peter and John when they were going to the temple. They didn't have any money to give this poor beggar that was outside. He was crippled. In Acts chapter 3, he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, and he asked an alms. Verse 4, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He did a whole lot better than giving him money. God expected him to help. God expected Peter and John to help him. And God expects us to help those that are impoverished, that need the help, and that deserve the help, and to have enough wisdom to distinguish the two. Now listen, we know and participate with many missionaries who often help the poor and use this as an opportunity to open the door for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Thailand, I've got a friend who has started 27 leper churches. Lepers are the way outcasts of the society in Thailand. Nobody has anything for them. He has set up leper colonies to take care of these people, minister to their physical needs, and out of that action toward the off-scouring of the earth in Thailand, he has seen thousands of them come to the Lord Jesus Christ, cared for them in their illness, and trained many of them to preach so that they have leper churches literally everywhere that they have lepers. He's also set up an orphanage, housing 300 orphans of leper children. And he takes care of them. Everything. But they also lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ and train them in the Bible. And then these young people, as they grow up, become productive citizens. They're not there like that forever. In another country, and I won't name the country for the protection of the man that does the work, but he deals with orphan children. And what he's done is he has provided them places to stay and food and clothing and educational opportunities and given them abilities and ways to provide for themselves so that they don't always have to depend on somebody else to take care of them. And they become productive citizens of the society, well-educated, saved, winning others in their family to the Lord Jesus Christ, and active members of their churches by taking care of the poor, by taking care of the people that have been neglected by the country. In Mongolia, another friend has built hospitals in the Gobi Desert that are used to minister to the physical needs of the people that are too poor to afford the transportation and hospitalization in other hospitals. And the doctors and nurses deal with them concerning their souls. Many have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there's a room in the hospital that's used as a chapel for the church. In Romania, a friend has built an orphanage. It's his home, but he's got enough room in there to take care of 8 orphans, training them in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another good friend on the mission field, using farming implements and things like that in the effort to bring humanitarian aid, to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to people who are impoverished. And you know what? God is blessing those ministries. This help is help that is given to the poor, and it is directly related to the spreading of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that the work is not a dead end, and the people who benefit by it are living in lives that are trained where they can actually learn to take care of themselves. And they're developed so that they can take care of themselves and others as well. They learn to reproduce what's been extended for them. That's God's plan. That's God's method. And you know what the incentive is? I mean, the incentive is, but you know, because it needs to be done. But you know there's an incentive in it. There is a reward for helping the folks that are poor. The Lord said here in our text, Proverbs 14:21, he said, He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. The first reward is happiness. Happiness and joy. Look again with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where we saw some of this help to the poor saints. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 2. In Macedonia, they took up an offering for the poor saints, but Macedonia went through its own series of affliction and poverty themselves while they were taking up the collection. And it says here, in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Look at that. In their poverty and in their affliction, they experienced great joy and riches of their liberality. Let me tell you something. Helping folks that God wants you to help, who are poor, that deserve the help, results in you experiencing a tremendous amount of joy and happiness. The Bible promises it. And it comes from being a cheerful giver, which is another incentive. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, about giving, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. How can you beat that? The certainty that God loves you. I know he loves his children, but loves you because you give like he gave. And then there's the promise of a recompense from the Lord. Look in Proverbs 19, verse 17, a recompense from the Lord. Look at this, Proverbs 19, 17. The Bible says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. It's a promise from the Lord. The promise being that, you know, if you had a need here, God would be there to take care of it for you. But more importantly, when you get to heaven, you will have laid up treasure for yourself so that whatever you put out here on the earth, the Lord will repay you. Pay you again. Just like the Good Samaritan who said, whatever you spend more than what I've given you, I will repay you when I come again. Second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one other incentive, and it's Proverbs 21, verse 13, which simply says, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Well, the converse of that is true, that if you give to the poor, then you have the promise of answered prayer. So now we've learned from the Bible that God does expect us to care for the poor, but to be wise, because there are some, many actually, who don't deserve the help. But use it as an opportunity for the furtherance of the gospel and recognize with it comes joy, the love of God, a recompense from the Lord, and the promise of answered prayer. How can you beat it?
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.